You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Carty, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moxie and Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, Marco, I'd be lying if I told you I'm in excellent condition, but let me lie a little bit anyway and say it. I'm okay. You know, we've been hitting the road pretty heavy, as you know, and it hasn't been an easy chore. You know, we travel off until, I think we hit 19 different states. And my God.
Yeah, it is pretty long and pretty arduous tour there.
Yeah, it is. But I got to tell you, we met some great people. But before we get into any of that, what do you think of all this craziness going on out there in Zanesville, Ohio? This guy, you know, he had an exotic animal farm. He lets them all loose, but he just got out of jail for having possession of firearms that he wasn't supposed to have. And that's all these escaped tigers, lions, leopards, bears, wolves, monkeys with herpes loose. 58 escaped. 48 were put down by the local John Dons. I mean, come on, man. What the hell is this world coming to, Marco? Did you hear about it?
No, I didn't hear about it, but man, it's way out. Good God.
It's been on the news for the last 2 days, and I've been getting calls from people. Hey, are you in the area, Tom? The ones that they did capture, they sent it over to the Columbus, Ohio Zoo. And, you know, the other organizations are up, you know, in their arms and saying, hey, why are you killing all these things? And I don't know. All I'm telling you is, you know, we're having a lot of problems economically in this world. And our leadership somewhere along the line is not doing the best of things, I don't think.
It's fading out.
Somebody better get with the program here, because I got to tell you, it's not good. It's just not good. These people are just, you know, getting crazier and crazier. And let me tell you guys out there that's within my listening to my voice out here in the Bigfoot world, better hunker down. Better keep your money close to your chest right now. Holidays are coming up upon us. And I'm telling you, right after the first of the year, it's going to be a drought. January, February, March, April, straight through the, you know, tax time, it's going to be tough. Watch the way you're spending any monies. It's going to get worse than it ever has gotten. And the weather, I'm going to tell you straight up, this is going to be one of the coldest winters on record. Well, enough with the doom and gloom. I'm just flabbergasted to see what's going on. I don't even like to turn on the news anymore. I'm just fed up with it. Guys, let's get into some cheery stuff. You know, we're out there and doing what we know how to do the best and enjoying it. And we got a compliment, which I want to share with you, Marco. Show that we met with John L. Johnson and Scott Marlowe. And John says to me, you know, Tom, I compliment you immensely. I said, why is that? He says, man, you know, when you get to an area, you can sniff it out. You talk to the chief of police, you talk to the mayors, you talk to the local people, you find out what's going on, and my gosh, man, when you find out that you've got nothing going on and it was all a bunch of crap, a lot of delusional people, one brick short of a load or one way or another, you have a nice meal, say hello to the people, and you head on out. You don't waste time. And I took that as a great compliment. I got to tell you that, Marco, because like he said, I wish I could have done what you did, and I wouldn't have been out all that money and all that time that I've wasted. Consider that a compliment, John. Thank you for it. Got a great show lined up, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you guys are in the new chat room and got it first and know which way to go and what button. I sure as hell. Mark's going to school me in.
Well, there's not so many people in there, but I got the General Giant, and I think Jim Dawson is also going to be in there.
Yeah, well,
moderating it.
I didn't think. I tried to get in, but I can't get in. Maybe we got to pull somebody.
It requires, it's a flash, I guess, it's a chat room, and it requires a program on your browser. And it's pretty common. I mean, it's a common one, but if you don't have it, you got to download it and install it.
Well, then that's another chore that we've got, another hurdle we've got to get over. Without any, you know,
yep.
Any further ado, let's get on. And we're going to go out to Arkansas. He was supposed to be on last week for the some problems. We got him now, Jim Dawson. Jimmy, you out there?
I am, Tom. How are you, buddy?
Well, I'm tired, Jim. As you know, we trekked thousands of miles and went through a lot of emotional roller coaster ride as we do travel, as you know, also.
Oh yeah.
First of all, for that wonderful hospitality that you put me and my crew up with, and the BBC. They told me to thank you also immensely. You did a wonderful job. Matter of fact, Chico loves you to death. It says, man, that guy sure knows how to. That was the first time ever he ever caught fish. Or not caught. I got to tell you, you really know what you're doing. And
It was like taking my kids fishing, taking Chico, Tom. I'd have to bait the hook for him or help him bait the hook, cast it out there, and then I'd set the hook and hand it to him. We caught 30 trout in 30 minutes. And I'd set the hook and hand it to him and let him reel it in, and it was fun. It was like taking the kids fishing. I've never seen a guy so happy in my life. It was a pleasure.
I'll tell you, he went crazy. All he talked about for the next days. And he's just having a hell of a time about it also. But I want to thank you for that. But more so than anything of the hospitality and your genuine sincerity is that area you got out there. My God, you've got something that's cherished. I don't know. I think I told you when we left you the next day after, ladies and gentlemen, this guy made us a wonderful breakfast. I mean from soup to nuts. He didn't spare nothing. Went all out. And he told me to tell you, too, anytime you're out in that area, just give him a call. And he does that to everybody. But he lives out so remote, ladies and gentlemen, on this river, that it's just incredible. Dude, there's no phone service unless you... He has a little circle that he circled with a great can of paint. And if you stay in that circle about, six, 7 yards away from his cabin, get some calls. Otherwise, you're a dead player. But I got to tell you, I enjoyed going out with you at night, as everybody else did. And kind of blew our minds about the gifting that was going on. Why don't you share that with everybody?
Well, we had talked about it on a previous show, but my son Jack and I, Jack likes to get up high. He has autism, and he likes to. We have some cliffs around this area, and we have some areas on the railroad tracks where the railroad actually had to dynamite out big, huge rock areas. They're called rock cuts, and you can walk up on the top of it. I'm talking 75, 80 feet down to the tracks of just sheer rock. They had to dynamite through, quarter mile area, 8 mile area, whatever. And so Jack likes to get up there, and that's right behind our cabin. And so we're always walking through the creek bed, and there's a concrete, a tunnel, if you would, under the railroad tracks, just right, really, almost right behind our cabin, through a creek bed. And we go through there quite a bit. And so Jack and I were out messing around one day, and we put up three big tree formations, X's, 8-9 foot. Limbs, one on the other side of the tracks, one on this side of the tracks, and one down by the river. And 2 or 3 days later, we go back out there, and all of the X formations are torn down, and in fact, the sticks are gone. And as we're coming through the creek bed, where we walk through often to get to this concrete tunnel, we look down, and there were 19 old-time railroad spikes, as well as several of the, today they use the old railroad spikes to join the rail to the creosote ties, the oil-soaked or creosote ties, railroad ties. Today, and for the last, 15 to 20 years, they've used concrete ties, and they use clamps. Metal clamps to hold the rails down, and so there were several metal clamps, and several threaded rods, and then 19 railroad spikes. And honestly, you could walk 5 miles down the railroad tracks, and you'd be lucky to find one railroad spike. There were 19 of them in one spot, right in the middle of the creek bed. And then but also all those X formations were gone. And then subsequent, so we took the railroad spikes and all that stuff and brought them here. I think there's pictures. I think Marco Bill put them up on the website. I'm not sure if he's got them up there or not. And then subsequent to that, I went back out and I put a knife in a tree. We built three more X formations, and they haven't touched them. They haven't touched the knife. They haven't touched the X formations. But they did come down, and we have some other instances of gifting. Now, I've got to digress just a little bit, but also that same day that they had left the railroad spikes, they also put an X formation. I believe it was the creatures, right down in front of my patio at my dock on the river. made out of stump wood, and there's no stump wood in that area, and then or root wood, if you would. It was just incredible. And see, no, we're so far out here in the woods, and nobody's here. I haven't told anyone about. I hadn't told anyone about the railroad spikes except you. And no one knew about it, and there'd be no reason for someone to make an X formation in front of my house on my dock, but it happened. And so we've also had this summer them leaving rocks for us. They left me some very tiny stones on my dock with holes through them, like they were, you remember the puka beads you'd get in Hawaii or you get on the West Coast, you know, people make necklaces out of them?
Sure, the puka beads.
It's a shell, but it's got a hole. You know, they drill a hole through them, I guess, and string them on a string. Well, they left us about 9 rocks with holes through them down on my dock one time. They also left us some other rocks down there, different shapes, different sizes, and I've also noticed a lot. You know, my son has autism. I've noticed a lot of the videos and research stuff that I've seen across the country, especially behaviorally. To me, I see a lot of similarities in the behaviors of the creatures and autism or autistic-like behavior, and such as tree peeking and hiding and running and playing games and gifting and all different kinds of stuff. There are some similarities there, I believe, and it's really interesting. Jack. Actually, we looked in his backpack. Tom, you're going to love this. Becky looked in his backpack the other day, and he had a list in his backpack, and it was kids that he had talked to, and he had made a chart, and he said, "Have you seen Bigfoot?" And he had a kid's name, and then he had a category. Was it on the bus? Was it in the woods? Where were you with your parents? And he's asked like 40 kids if they've seen Bigfoot, and out of 40, one of them had seen Bigfoot, and it was on the bus. But Jack, he really likes to go out in the woods and look around and hunt for stuff and he was with me when we put up the X formations and of course when we found the railroad spikes and he's also been with me when we found other rocks and what is really interesting is Jack. I've never really talked with Jack about the gifting. I mean, what it really means or any of that stuff. And the other day, Jack said, "Dad, I've got something for you," and he handed me 3 very small, unique stones. Like a limestone, and that was to him. He was giving me a gift, and he has no idea about the gifting in stones. You know, they like to give stones, that kind of stuff. He has no idea about that kind of stuff. And like I said, I see a lot of similarities. And Tom, there's something else that I did not show you, nor the BBC folks, when you were here because it was such a fast visit. You got in at midnight and you left the next day. But there is a tree.
Oh, wait! Let me interject them.
Okay.
For the people out there. We're going to give them a verbal tour of what we're talking about. First of all, anybody that can hear my voice, go to searchingforbigfoot.com, and there's a little icon up there that says Arkansas. Click on there. It's the first one on the top. And you'll see, when you open it up, you'll see railroad ties, tie downs, and the river at Jimmy's house. And you'll hear about when we got in. What did we get in? 4 to 1 in the morning or 1:15?
Yeah, you said you're going to be here about 11. I had the steaks ready to go on the grill, and you showed up at, about midnight or 12:30.
Yeah. And then
maybe 1 o'clock. We took steaks at 1 o'clock in the morning.
That's right.
We went out.
Well, wait, that's what I'm getting to. And the whole story's here. I'm just reading it myself.
Huh.
And it's about it. It's kind of incredible. It's told by both. I want the people out there who's listening, Bigfoot Land, to know that when we travel straight through, we don't stop and go to sleep. We meet with our people, our associates, and we go out because that's when these creatures are on the move. And he's testifying right now, and he's giving you a blow-by-blow. So go ahead. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Well, I failed to show this to you guys, and it's really one of the most interesting things. When we... You know, my parents built this house, and we've been coming to this area, even when we lived in Chicago. You know, we would come down here 10, 12, 13 times a year and spend a week or a few days, whatever we could do. And I noticed when we got here in June this year, there is a tree right next to the rock cabin that you stayed in. I mean, within 10 feet of it, in the middle of my yard. It's a white oak, and it has just had the shit beat out of it. And I mean, there's marks all up and down the tree, and some of them are up at the 10-foot level. It looks like that creature has been beating on it. And I forgot to show it to you. I'm really sorry. I'll take some pictures of it and email them over to Marco Bill. It's really incredible, although I have not heard any tree knocks.
By the way,
something's been beating this tree, and it's on the rock cabin side, and it's only about 7 to 10 feet from the rock cabin that you were in.
Do me a favor.
And I just forgot to show it to you.
Besides taking pictures of that, we need a picture of you to put on the website because everybody's saying, well, Biscardi, you were out there. How come we don't have a picture of them?
Tom, he sent me some pictures the other day. I got them. Yeah, I got them.
Okay. Well, you know,
post them tomorrow.
The people don't understand that we were going 24/7, balls to the wall, and we got the BBC out there with a camera in our faces the whole time. Explain that, Jim. People don't understand it.
Oh, my gosh. I asked Morgan to just drop the camera. I mean, just let me eat. I mean, the guy wanted to share everything with the world, you know, and it's really interesting. Morgan wanted to interview Jack. And I said, well, if you want to interview Jack, he gets up at 6 and he catches the bus at 6:30. And Morgan was here at 6. And he came in and he met Jack and he videoed, you know, helping Jack floss his teeth and brush his teeth and getting ready for school and getting going. So we got Jack going and Morgan interviewed Jack and then asked him the questions, you know, about the railroad spikes and, you know, did you find them and so on and so forth. And if Jack's very honest, he tells it like it is and he explained what his version of what happened for the BBC and for Morgan, the producer. Morgan wanted to go out and just see some stuff, so we got in the car or in the truck, and I took him to an area about, oh, I'm going to say a mile and a half from my cabin here, and I said, I've got some great tree arches and tree breaks that are right off the road you can video because they're just awesome, and we drove down there, and we get out, and he videos an arch, and then there are three tree breaks in a row right there. He videos those, and I look down the hill, and about 40 yards in, it gets better. So I said, let's walk down here. And we walk down about 40 yards, and there's some asterisks, and there's some arches, and more tree breaks. And then I look down the hill a little further, and right off the road, it looks like it's really thick with underbrush. But you get in there about 40 yards, it just clears up. It's amazing. And we go down about another 40 yards, and it gets better, and it gets better. We get about 200, 250 yards down the hill, and there's a cattle ranch on the other side of the ridge, and I could hear the cattle, you know, mooing or making the noises, but then I started hearing some low grunts, maybe some growls besides the mooing, and then I heard the most god-awful hiss. I have no idea where it came from or what it was. I asked Morgan, is that from your camera? He said, no. And I said, did you hear that? He said, no. He had those earphones on. He and Tara never took those earphones off. She'd walk around with that boom mic with feathers on it and chase you around, and he'd have that camera right in your face every second. And we're out in the woods, and he told me it was a $40,000 camera, and the lens was another $40,000. He had $80,000 on his shoulder, and we're walking around the woods filming these tree structures or stick formations, and they're just awesome. But as we go down the hill, they get better, and they get better, and they get better. And then I start hearing some grunts, and then I hear that hiss. And I said, we're out of here. We got to go. I didn't know where it came from. It was almost like a bobcat. But it was 9 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't see anything. And it really startled me, so we left. And then recently, I think you just spoke to another fella from Tom, from Willow Springs, Bill. I think he goes by Blue Man. He had contacted me. He came down here, chased me down. We visited, and then I took him down there to that area where those tree structures are, and he took several photographs of the structures, and he was supposed to email them to me, and he hasn't sent them to me yet, but we'll have pictures of those structures for you on the website here. Hopefully, if Bill is a man of honor and follows through, he'll send us those pictures. But they're just awesome. And, you know, and I went down there a week ago with Bill and his friend Bill, and who is very skeptical about Bigfoot, and showed them the tree structures, the tree breaks, the arches, et cetera. And they were, at least in my presence, they were absolutely thrilled and had, they were really impressed with them. There's a twist down there, Tom. A branch that's about, I'm going to say, 8 inches in, 9 inches in circumference that's twisted.
I know. Well, Morgan told me about all that stuff. Thing that you did, well, you know now anyway. When we left, we had to stop to get more batteries and stuff on the way out in at the Walmart there, not far from your place. And you know, when we travel, we got our rig and says, here comes the Bigfoot hunter, yada, yada. There was people outside waiting for us to come out of the store to tell us of their experiences. Within 5 miles where you live, this woman has had 4 encounters since July. Now, I'm trying to get her name and phone number and an address from Tara and Morgan, but they're in Ireland at the present time, and they left their all those forms and stuff at the office in London. I think when they get back, they're going to mail it back to me, and of course I'll send it over to you. And I found out also, Bill, the blue man, caught up with you, and he's had some. He's only 55 miles from you. You know that, right?
Yes, he's up in Willow Springs, and he's also about halfway to Salem, Missouri, where those other fellows that had creatures throw rocks at him on the blue with the Kern or 11 Point River. He's halfway up there, so maybe we can visit with those guys if that's possible. But yeah, Bill came down, and he's got a lot of vocalization. He likes to get out and do audio recordings, and he showed me several audio recordings, or let me listen to him show me on his computer. But he opened up his laptop, and I'm going to say he had about 40 or 50 audio recordings of howls, screams. Not really a lot of knocking. Most of them were howls or screams. And really good quality. And some of them he was very, very close. And then he told me that he's had 3 sightings. But he's really an interesting fella. He chased me around for 2 weeks, called me, and we'd try to set up a meeting, and it didn't work, or he couldn't make it, or I couldn't make it, or whatever. But we just got together last week and had a real pleasant meeting and visited for a couple of hours, and he's a nice fella. I think you'll enjoy talking with him. He's pretty knowledgeable, and he likes to get out and do research. He likes to get out in the woods. So
that's the kind of guys we like. Listen, I already got into the other guy's time here, but you've got to be so interesting. Amazing. It just blows everybody's mind. Ladies and gentlemen, and I'll tell you what, Timmy is one of us now. He's with SFBI. And anything that goes on in that area or in that vicinity, you just let me know, and he'll be out down there on the spot. Check it out. He's gotten to be real good out in the field, I'll tell you. Guy's fearless. Not only that, true gentleman. Timmy, we got a lot more show. Monitor the chat room and shoot yourself out, and thanks again from the bottom of my heart, my friend.
Hey, thanks, Tom. On the chat room, I'm Bigfoot Agent, and my email address is bigfootagent@gmail.com. Thanks a lot, guys.
There you go. All right.
Come on.
Back to you, Marco. Let's go to a commercial.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery. And deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One that heard the people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the war.
Back to you, Tom.
That's there, Marco. You know, I'll tell you something else. We're keep your fingers crossed. Let's see if we win best documentary on Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax or Bigfoot Lives Too. Both have been submitted and accepted. And we'll know this Saturday if either one does win anything. And of course, we'll let you know. I got to tell you, this next guest that we're going to go out to see or talk to is out there in Virginia. He's become another part of our family, ladies and gentlemen. True trooper, a true real guy. and down home kind of. And I'll tell you what, he was there with us the whole time out there. And if you're on the computer on our website, searchingforbigfoot.com, click on the link, Expedition Fall 2011, Virginia, and we'll go down the street together, all of us. Without any further ado, let's get out there and talk to Anthony. Anthony, you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
How are you, son?
All right. How you doing there, Tom?
Well, I'm tired. I'm just going to
tell you. Sounds sick, man.
I'm tired, you know, and I think I'm coming down with something that's probably rightfully so. But, you know, I'm sitting here looking at the website that Marco Bill, you know, put on there. I got to tell you, he's done a hell of a job. He really has. You in there and got them in there taking our pits, our crew, of course. And for what, though? Oh, TJ's there, too. I'm just noticing TJ's in there also. So everybody's in the crew. You know, it blows my mind, okay? For those of you out there that don't know Anthony. Anthony, why don't you tell everybody who you are and how we all came about and where we're at today?
Well, just to go over some of the things I've shared in the past, you know, I've remember looking at some pictures on your website, you know, maybe a little over a year ago, and, you know, happened to see some of the pictures that some of your guests that have, you know, had some of the guests you've had on the show with the tree formations and there were also other websites as well. I'm not going to mention what they are, but one of the things that stuck out is, like, you know, there was only one particular place that I knew where those formations existed, and I always had in the back of my mind, next time I'm over there, I'm going to go check them out. And next time I had to go down to that substation, I just paid particular attention to those formations. And one of the things that I noticed as I was traveling down this road, I mean, there was a whole bunch of them, you know. And I just took kind of, I took a bunch of pictures, you know, and kind of the ones that I really kind of felt like, you know, this is not natural. And I sent them into Marco Bill last year, sometime in November, and he had said that, you know, hey, you definitely got something there. And, you know, he had me on the show last year. You know, fast forwarding to today, you said that we've been in contact, and you said that, you know, you're going to come out this way. But prior to you coming, I, you know, for this past year, every time I'm down that road, I'm always hoping to see if I see something. I always, you know, since that time we had spoken last year, I just wanted to drive down, and I've been driving down slowly every time. And just about a month ago was when I had my first sighting. I had first thought I had seen a deer, but it didn't run away. And then I thought to myself that, hey, maybe it's a dog. But then, because I did see two pairs of legs, and then the first pair in the front jumped up on a tree that was pushed over and then went over, and then the second pair just followed right behind a lot quicker, just jumped up and over, you know. And when I saw that, I put my truck in park, and I got out, and I got almost to where that log was, and then I come to the realization, I said, hey, you know, I'm by myself here. So I just kind of took a few steps, and I just stood there for a little while, and just trying to see if I saw anything. And I didn't feel too comfortable, and then I just went back, and I'd say within a short while I had contacted Marco Bill, let him know what I had found, and he contacted you and said, hey, you're going to be this way, and you're going to stop off and see me as well. You already have plans to be out here in Fredericksburg, so it was good to see you when you came through.
And that's how it happened. So then when we got out there, as you people can see on the website here, we had a little meet and greet with everybody. We get out into the field, and you can see the area in which we cleared. And I got to be honest with you, I was very proud of my grandson, one of my grandsons, who cleared the area. Do you remember how we did all that? Can you tell the people?
Well, you after you discerned, you know, just listening to the environment there, that you kind of felt like there is something here worth investigating. You know, you had your team set up game cameras. You had you had TJ, your grandson. You had Youngblood and Chico. You know, they I mean, they all worked together. You know, Rex setting up the recording equipment, the video recording. I know it was TJ and Youngblood. They set up the game cameras there. You had your grandson clear up the area there, you know, of all the pine needles and all that, make it, you know, so that it's nice soft dirt there, sprayed it down with some water. I mean, laid out some bait with peanut butter and sardines, and when everybody was all set, we all left.
What happened the next day?
I got to say, it was kind of exciting when I called you that next day. Yeah, first thing you said was, "Hey, we got a print," and I was like, I was excited. I know you were too, you know, and I just couldn't wait to get over there. So
the reason being, it was my birthday, ladies and gentlemen, October the 9th, and everybody had prayed the night before. Wouldn't that be, including the crew from England, wouldn't that be a great birthday present for Tom and the crew? Well, lo and behold, if you guys are up on that site, you'll see it. It's there. It was a juvenile print, plain as can be. And I guess there was three of them, wasn't there?
I thought there might have been four, but I know that there was definitely two different sets of prints. You know, and I thought it was kind of like two. I'm pretty sure. I know there was two sets of prints, but I thought there was four of them there.
Yeah, but one totally discernible. And the one that you can actually see it, ladies and gentlemen, is Youngblood, Rex, and Anthony to the right, and he's holding up the print in his hand. And as we do with everybody, I have enough prints. We cast it, and I says, "Here, this is yours." And boy,
thank you for that, Tom. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. And he just, I'm sure you'll treasure that print for the rest of your life.
Oh, it's safely away already.
Yeah, and tell everybody about the peanut butter on the log. Remember that?
Yeah, I thought it was that's, you know, that was pretty amazing itself, because you set the peanut butter high up in the branches there, and kind of, you know, you set them up high on two trees, and you know, and that, and it looks like they had, you know, the creature had. Was able to reach it and sample it. You know, evidently it looked like it didn't like it, and it wiped its finger right there on the log. You know, so I mean, it's pretty clear. It doesn't get from down there. I mean, from up there to down to the log on the ground. You know, unless somebody touched it, and you could clearly see. It looks like a finger swipe right there. You know, and I've been questioned if it was a, you know, you think it was a bear, and I'm saying, hey, look, you know, if a bear can, you know, separate its fingers like a human can, let's say it can, I mean, I should see a claw scratch even right down the middle there, and there is none, you know. So, just finding the prints, and you see that smear of the peanut butter with its finger right there on the log, I mean, I think it was like Christmas for both of us.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Now, do me a favor. Tell the people out there, they say, well, you know, Biscardi's out there and he just listens to these people and placates them. Am I a pretty tough investigator? Do I inquisit? Am I inquisitive as hell, and do I put you through the paces when I ask you questions? Be honest.
You did. And I understand that you were you needed to make sure. I know when you were asking me questions, I got kind of defensive with your questioning, you know, because you know, I know what I saw, but you know, I know you needed to go through your routine. You have to make sure that I saw what I saw, and you know, and when you got the evidence the next day, you know, hey, it just confirmed what I saw. You know, two little ones in the area.
Yeah. But, you know, there's a reason for that, and you know what that reason is, okay? We spend thousands of of dollars and thousands of man hours traveling out to see a bunch of these people. And, you know, I know, as you know now, that within a matter of 15 minutes after I talk to somebody, either it's a real deal or I say thank you very much and I move on. I stayed with you, didn't I?
Yes, sir, you did.
Okay, and we were victorious, weren't we?
Yes, sir.
You know what blew my mind, ladies and gentlemen? To see how the people reacted to us out there. In the beginning, they were a little hesitant and want to know, what are you out here for? You're on private land. You're going from a private land to actually helping us. Gave us a tree stand. Gave us whatever we needed. Gave us permission. I thought that was pretty nice.
You know, in addition to that, Tom, you also got additional testimony, you know, from the neighbors that lived in the area.
Didn't that blow your mind?
It sure did. It sure did.
Yeah. So tell everybody also about what happened when you guys went back the next day, you and Dave.
Whoa. let me tell you, we stood out there. Actually it wasn't the next day, but it was like maybe a day or two later, but I had showed him the area, and we were just hearing some very deep, low, you know, grunting sounds, you know, like almost like we invaded territory, you know, and I didn't hear this before. We didn't hear it when we were out there, but now I'm hearing it, you know, and this was the area because I don't think Dave, although he had stayed out that night, that second night, you know, real late. I'm sorry, not Dave, Jack, and we had went to showed him that particular area. Then we went to behind the substation, and that's where the noise was a whole lot louder, you know. And unfortunately, Jack has a problem hearing, so he couldn't hear what I heard. And as we were leaving, it was getting louder and louder, but we didn't hear anything. But it was really like earth shaking. I mean, I just felt like if we stayed any longer, this thing was going to come out and let us know it didn't want us here at all. So that was the first time that I had heard noises like that, you know. So.
And then what? Then you saw a bunch of tree formations too, correct?
Right. Some of the formations, some of the pictures of the formations that we had sent to you last year. There's a brand new oak tree that's been pushed over, knocked all of those formations over. Okay. So, you know, some of those ones that were in TP fashion. And this isn't this oak tree that's pushed over. It's not something that has happened a long time. I mean, the leaves are still green, you know. They're still green, and so this was something that was recently done because I was going to try to show him some the areas where I had taken the pictures, but now the path was blocked, you know. So we'd have to do some serious cutting down to get through that area or to walk around. But like I said, you know, the noise that I was hearing had kept me away.
So what's your final determination after seeing how we work, what you got out there? What do you think about the whole thing?
I think it's amazing. I think you got an awesome crew working with you. Trying to get things done. I know you got a lot on your plate. You got a lot of things to go. I wish probably just like everybody else that you visit, wish you could stay a little longer to get some more stuff, you know. But, it's kind of, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, so I know you just, you're moving on. You're moving on. But I learned a lot from you and the guys you introduced me to, and I hope to add on to that learning in Bigfoot research.
That's great. Okay, that makes me feel like a million dollars coming from you. And you know what? Welcome to the world of Sasquatch number one and number two. Welcome to our world at SFBI, my brother, and we're there with you the whole time. I want you to know that.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom.
Listen, just mute yourself out. We got a whole lot more show, and you'll be really pleased to hear this next guest, okay?
Can't wait to hear him.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thanks for all your
help. Oh, you're welcome, Tom.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Anthony out there in Virginia. Just a hell of a guy. One hell of a nice guy. And I'll tell you what, you ever in Virginia, give him a jingle. I'm sure he'll take you out and let you see what we saw. Without any further ado, I want to get up there to New York. Before we hit New York, let's go to a commercial real quick, Bill.
I want all the viewers in the world today to know that this creature is out there. I have no doubt in my mind that there is a primate, a hominoid, a biped, something that walks on two all over this country. There's an unknown species out there. And we're going to find it. We've done vocalizations. We'll receive something in return, answering to it. We're going to be sharing our finds with the world. Because what we've got now, no one else has. And the legend carries on by the work that we've done all these years. Say it's night, say it's night.
Right now, searching for Bigfoot.com.
Back to you, Tom.
Okay, buddy. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get out there to upstate New York and talk to Richard. Richard, you out there?
Yeah, I'm right here, Tom.
How you doing?
How are you tonight?
Tired, Richard. I'm tired.
Yeah, you sound it.
Yeah, I am. I'm coming down with something, but you know, I'm not going to placate on bullshit. And the only thing I want to do is just go forward and do what we need to do. Ladies and gentlemen, Richard's up there in northern New York, and he's had some incredible, and I'm telling you, incredible encounters with not one but many creatures. Okay. And he's got his theory on this thing. I sent somebody out, and it's no lie. He's got the real deal out there. We're there somewhere in the area. I can't tell anybody. But why don't you tell everybody what's going on up there, Richard?
Well, Tom, as you know, I've been going into this one area for about 7 months. About a week ago, I had... went to my area, and I had rocks thrown at me. And I got right out of there. And I went back a day later. I had all I could do. It was kind of a man thing. I was going to drag myself back to face my fears. Well, I got to the spot where the rocks were thrown, and I heard bipedal, you know, walking. And I turned, and I yelled, "I got you, bastards. I got you, bastards." And I heard, like, a crashing sound. And I took three quick pictures, and I got out of there. My courage kind of went. Well, when I got home, I looked at my pictures. I had to use the zoom on the camera, and I did get pictures. I mean, of faces, and I called you right up. I counted, in those three pictures, I've counted 28 creatures. And I've been trying to figure them out because there's some unusual shit going on with the pictures, with the creatures. They got rubber masks. Some of them got rubber masks on their sagittal crest. Figure that out. And I called you up last weekend. I got all torqued out of shape. I got very nervous. I thought I saw a human being with two creatures. And I said, what did I stumble into? Some kind of government program? Because there's so many of these things. Is it a preserve? I was afraid something was going to happen to me. And Tom, his credit, calmed me down. And I was able to focus on things again. And I went back and looked. It's a doll of some kind with an army hat on. Hello? Tom, did I lose you?
I'm still here.
And
you know, wait. You just asked about hello. I'm listening to you as well as everybody is gripping coming out of your mouth. Well, hold on, time. Ladies and gentlemen, I also want you to know one thing. Richard called me one night, and says, Tom, I want you to know that if something happens to me or my family, you were the one that I wanted on record, know that I let you know what was going on in this area. Do you remember saying that to me?
Yes, I did. Yes, I do.
Okay.
And I was thoroughly scared.
I know you were. And let me tell you something. There's not just you. There's a lot of people out there that are scared. You know, the unknown, there's a fear of the unknown, not just in this industry, but in anything. When there's a lot of things, you know, the dark makes a lot of fear into a lot of people, especially when you can't see your hands in front of your face, especially when you're out in terrain and territory that you're not familiar with, strange areas, you know, that you hear any little bump in the night go by and you don't know what it is. You hear these footfalls, people paralleling you, these different figures that you're seeing out there. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to let everybody know that if anything ever happens to this gentleman or his family, it's publicly on record now. And everybody should be aware that if there is some kind of cover-up or conspiracy going on and he happens to get taken out, there will be a full investigation, and we have it recorded here tonight. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, Tom, I've sent you the picture I sent you can't explain what I have because it doesn't translate over the computer screen.
Mm-hmm.
They were transporting a part of a boom of a crane, all right? And when I yelled when I took the pictures, I got you, you bastards. I think it kind of stunned them, you know? And they all dropped. They're laying, one of them is trapped under the crane in the pictures I have, Tom. And there's about four or five literally laying on each other. I can see their faces. I'm probably one of the few people that's seen a Sasquatch face in a picture. They have, in the picture, they have blue eyes. Have you ever heard of that before?
Well, no, never heard blue. I've heard of yellow and I've heard of red.
Brown. No, they're blue.
They're brown, black.
And,
Richie, I learn every day just like you. I'm not one of these guys that go along and say I know it all. But I don't want you discussing too much of this right now because some of this is very private and confidential. I just want to give everybody a lick of the lollipop about you and your encounters because I need to bring young blood out here and we need to talk, have a little round table. But just mute yourself out and we'll be talking. I'm still here with you. You know that. And thank you for sharing this with our folk. Okay?
Okay, Tom. Thank you very much for the time.
You got it, buddy. Thank you so much.
Okay, and your support. You're A1 with me.
All the way. You know that. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Rich in upstate New York, and we're here by him and my cohort. Just mute yourself out, Richard. Okay. My cohort and man that's got my back with me now is Rob. Rob?
I'm here, Chief.
This has been one hell of a grueling expedition for us, hasn't it?
I'm telling you, we haven't stopped yet.
You know, it's people just don't know, you know? They just have no clue. The people that we meet, of course, you know, because they experience it. Just like with Jimmy Dawson and all that. We got there at 12:30, have to have dinner that time, 1:15, 1:20 in the morning. We're out in the brush. They have no clue that, you know, this is the way we roll. Same thing that we did in Florida. Thus far, where we've been, what's been the most interesting part for you?
Well, so far, I enjoyed the Virginia myself. I kind of like running around in Florida in the swamp, though, too. So it's kind of hard to hard to say what's your favorite. I mean, as far as the location goes, I'm more at home and accustomed to the swamps. But I like traversing the mountains and climbing up the hills and all in Virginia as well.
What was the most interesting story that we've uncovered thus far that you want to share?
Well, the most interesting story so far on this expedition is one out there with Anthony and Virginia, where we got the prints the next day. That was pretty exciting when we got out there and we actually had something, you know, some physical, tangible evidence like that after setting up and going through all the gruels and spending all the time out there.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, Youngblood, and for our listeners out there that really don't know, and they say, well, hey, Biscardi, you're out there and traveling out to these areas. How come you and your team, you never stay in one place more than maybe hours or a night? Why don't you explain that to them why?
Well, the reason behind that is we go out there and there's no activity happening in the area in the immediate time frame. I mean, sometimes it's, you know, 2 or 3 weeks later we get there when something had happened 2 or 3 weeks earlier. These things have done moved on. They're not there anymore. There's no signs, no evidence of anything coming through the area. You know, even the local wildlife's not even moving. And when that happens, there's just nothing there. Nothing moving around, nothing going on. And there's no reason to sit there and spend months as I've done in the past when there's nothing happening. I mean, I've literally sat on top of a mountain in one spot where all this took place and been there for 4 months, day in, day out, 24/7, not left, not hardly slept, and just survived off the land and haven't seen nothing happen. And it's a monumental. I mean, in other words, it's more or less, it's just a waste of time to do that. I mean, you have to go to where something's going on right then, and then you might get lucky and catch something. And it's just like this case. You know, we got the phone call. And it happened, you know, a couple days prior, and we were right there. We headed out there, and sure enough, something happened.
That was pretty incredible stuff, and I agree with you on that. See if you can answer this question, Youngblood. They say, well, hey, Biscardi, is all these people rational and they got all their marbles when you get out there? What would you say after being with me all this time?
Some do. Some are well-grounded and some are not. I mean, it's different from individual to individual. Not everybody's made the same. Not everybody thinks the same way. Some people try to rationalize things while other people's imagination runs rampant. You know, like I said, there's no two identical in, you know, human beings on the planet. And as far as what happens for rationality, most of the time, it's a case of wishful thinking. They see something that they think is, you know, a creature or a sign of a creature, and you go there and you say, well, I got it right here in this picture. Well, you know, the camera angle of the light and the dark and the reflection, something happened, and the camera snapped something that looks kind of odd, but it's not nothing discernible that you can make out. You go there, you find the tree right there at the spot where the thing was, and there's no sign of it where it ever was. I mean, you're there within, you know, 15, 16 hours of that picture being taken in broad daylight, and you don't see anything. You go look around for hair samples, there's no hair. I mean, obviously you're looking at something that was laying up against a tree. Like anything else, if it brushes up against a tree, it knocks a piece of bark off or something. There'd be something there. There'd be a print. There'd be, you know, an indentation in the ground. But most of the time, that's not the case.
And so what do you say to these people that say, hey, we understand that Biscardi's got an uncanny ability to decipher something within 10 or 15 minutes when he's in the area talking to these new associates? What do you say to that?
I say it's absolutely true. I mean, you have to do what we do. You have to be skeptical. If you're not skeptical, you will waste an entire lifetime and accomplish nothing.
Very well put. Very well put. Look, Youngblood, here it is, 11 o'clock where we're at. So we better get on and mosey on out. Thanks for joining us here tonight. And I want to thank all my guests, Jim Dawson, Richard, Anthony, Marco, Bill. You do a superb job as always. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America. And guess what? Good night, Miss Calabash, wherever you are.
Ivan was a no bear tracker. Tom was a man of dreams.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Marco Bill, and that's the Bigfoot Live radio show for this week. All of us on the Bigfoot Live Network would like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests for joining us tonight for an exciting evening of talk show entertainment where you, the listeners, become a part of our on-the-air adventure. And we'd also like to thank you, our listeners, for sharing our adventure with us. Join us again next Wednesday evening for another exciting hour of the Bigfoot Live radio show with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. Until then, this is Marco Bill saying good night, and be good, be safe, and be here next week. See you then.